Very interesting that you picked that topic today, Sue. Because that's what I was going to speak on there at the end. No, I'm not hiding your light. What is repentance? I don't need you to answer. I just want you to think about it. What is repentance? Those of us that have children, we teach our children to apologize for things they do wrong, right? Well, my child will say, "I'm sorry," at the drop of the hat, and it means absolutely nothing. Most of the time. It's simply a mechanic that she's been taught to say, taught to do, some sort of mechanism that gets her out of whatever punishment it was. There's really no earnest remorse or repentance in the statement. It's just, "I'm sorry." Now, occasionally that's different. If it's, you know, sometimes you can tell. You can really tell if somebody is truly remorseful. You can tell if somebody is truly repentant. Naomi, give her a Kleenex, please. You can tell if someone is truly remorseful or truly repentant. You know, God can tell, too. I mean, he can tell. What really strikes me when I go and I read Romans 7 and I hear Paul talking about who shall deliver me of the body from the body of this death, O wretched man that I am. He started going through this. You know, his vision or his impression of that carnal nature of his is one that is so utterly deplorable that there is in his world, there's no space for it to exist. He wants to be shed of it so thoroughly, so completely, so utterly that it is the most detestable thing that he can imagine. That sense of rejection of the carnal mind, the carnal man, is drastically missing in most Christians. I think most Christians go to the Lord very much like my daughter comes to us when she's quote-unquote sorry. "I'm sorry," and just continues on about her business. See, that's not repentance, is it? That's actually not... that's not the spirit of what that's supposed to be. I'm not saying that we need to live in a state of utter despair because we are so stinking horrible. No, not at all. Not at all. Because God's grace is sufficient and it does wash away our sins. But it's not like butter to be spread on bread just at our whim. I don't know how else to put it. There's a fear of God that comes to bear with repentance. There's an acknowledgement of that. You know, coming to the light is part of the equation. It's just a piece of it. The other piece of that is receiving what the light has to say. And that's sort of what you were getting to right at the end. I wasn't sure if you were going to get to it or not, because that's what I wanted to talk about today. But just coming to the light, you know, coming to maybe attending the Sunday night service, which is sort of, what did you get out of things, you know? Or going to your discipler and saying, you know, sort of laying things out. Is it just going through the motions? Is it just something that you're doing because you know it, you have to do it? Or if you don't do it, you know, you'll look bad or it won't. I mean, if you're just playing a game with regards to your walk with the Lord, it's that doesn't work that way. I mean, that's not real. That doesn't mean you have a real relationship with Christ. It just means you're pretending to. And that's not going to cut it. That's not going to be sufficient when you stand before the Lord. He says, did you believe? And you're going to try and say yes, and it's going to come out no, because you didn't. So when I hear people talk about coming to the light, yeah, that is so important to come to the light. Absolutely. That is like the first step. But the next step is to receive from the light. And it's not just to hear it and walk away mad. It's to receive it and then in humility actually receive and accept it and surrender to it. You see, that's where the things start to turn around. That's where repentance actually starts to take hold, because you come to the realization that you are absolutely 1,000% the wrong and there is nothing right in you, and you humble yourself and you fall before your face, figuratively or literally, before God, and you say, God, I am wrong, you are right, please forgive me. Or you come to the light, you say it's your discipler, and you're hit with something, bang, right between the running lights, which has happened to me more times than I can count. Than I can remember. Let me say, I could probably count pretty high. And it's probably more than that. But I mean, it's more than I remember. And to my shame, the majority of times when I've been hit between the running lights, I've rejected the light initially. Defend myself, justify myself. Let's go through the whole gamut of absolute rubbish. If you're going to do that, why come to the light at all? It wasn't but a couple conferences ago that we were challenged, was it not, about stop playing games? Brother Davey, it's a pretty harsh wake-up call that first night, if I remember, about stop playing games. Sort of a terrifying thing when God tells you to stop playing games. Because if you don't stop playing games, guess what? You're going to lose. Absolutely going to lose. So what do you do? What do you do? When you go to the light, and if you're not in discipleship, why not? Why aren't you there? It's how Jesus taught his followers. We're told to follow after him, do as he did, and that's how he did it. But if you're not in discipleship, ask yourself, why not? And if you really want to walk with the Lord, if you really, really want to get things sorted out in your life and be his servant and be profitable to him, you better get into discipleship, because that's through which the conduit of correction flows. If you reject his authority and you reject those that he is, you reject his methods, you are one standing in pride. And God says he resists the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. So if you surrender that and you humble yourself to his way, you know, it says Jesus Christ is the way, and I would tell the guys in South Carolina, Jesus is the way and his way. Jesus is the only way and his way is the only way. So if you try and figure out a way around his way, you are not going to find it. You may think you have, but you are yet just playing a game. You're going through the motions, appeasing yourself, justifying yourself, and you are utterly lost. No, he has a way, and his way is the only way. Just humble yourself and receive that. And it's not like there's 50 ways and his is the, you know, you have to do his, and if you do the others. No, this is, you don't understand, you're on a road to utter destruction. Without Christ, you are on the road to utter destruction. You're in a toilet bowl and it's been flushed and you're on the big swirly and you're headed down. That's it. It's over. And his way is the only way out of that situation. His hand is the only hand outstretched that can actually deliver you out of that situation. If you were in a maze full of traps and snares and death around every corner, and there was one safe passage out, wouldn't you want to have that map? Wouldn't you want that? What you don't realize is your situation, your circumstance, where you are is in the middle of a death trap. And around every corner, there's a possibility of utter destruction. And the prince of this world, Satan, has laid snares for your life around every single corner. Now, I know people in this ministry have been ensnared by some of those snares, whether it's been jail or drugs or other abuses of things. They have firsthand knowledge of what those snares are like and the destruction they bring to them and their family and to their loved ones and those that love them. It is utter destruction. You're in a death trap. And the scary thing is that the prince of this world, the enemy of Christ, paints the most beautiful picture of what he has to offer. Boy, he wraps it up in the most beautiful package. Scantily clad sometimes. But he tries to just so smoothly and so sweetly lure you. It's all right. Doesn't matter. It's okay. Just this one time, it'll be all right. Nobody will know. So sweetly, so beguiling. This is his trick he's used since the beginning. Oh, God really doesn't mean that. No. You've misunderstood. That really won't happen. This is what he whispers into your ear. This is what he feeds you. It is a death trap of death traps. And there is one safe passage out. And his name is Jesus Christ. There's one. There's just the one. And if you try and find any other way around that, other than humbling yourself and repenting before him and receiving his gift and taking his hand, you're lost. Because you're going to go around a corner and it's going to be the end. It's just going to be the end of it. He has designed, speaking of the enemy, he has designed the most elaborate, destructive, and seductive system to appeal to that carnal man that is in you. And there is but one way out. And his name is Jesus. And you can try and play the game. You can go to meetings. Hey man, you can be an ordained minister. And you can still be playing the game. Because unless within your heart you've truly repented, the only person you're kidding is you. And destruction is just around the corner. All of that can be avoided. Every stitch of it can be completely avoided with one thing. Repentance. Repentance. And repentance, again, isn't just the act of coming to the light. That's, okay, you came to the light. And then the light is going to give you some information. And what are you going to do with it? Because that's step two. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to receive it? Are you going to embrace it regardless of how painful it feels to you at the time? How much you want to scream and rail against it about that's not true or that, how, How are you going to receive it? Because that's really the key. We've all been trained to come to the light. Everyone that I know in this ministry has been trained to come to the light. But it's up to you to receive what the light gives you. Because if you don't, you're just piling on more that stands against you. You pile on more accountability for knowing better, and yet still walking contrary to what God has ordained. Be better off for you to just quit than to keep playing the game. The end's the same. I mean, the best thing for you to do is just stop fighting God. Just stop. Stop fighting him. Put off those imaginations that tell you your authority doesn't understand, or God just doesn't get it, or your situation is somehow unique and doesn't apply to what information you're receiving. Put that off. Just put that off. Because if you put that off and just receive the light as the word of God, then it can do its job. Now, my wife has been struggling with breathing. And to me, it sounds like she is full of congestion and phlegm. And it will not come out. Is that accurate? And she went from using an inhaler once a day to now 7, 8, 10 times a day just to breathe. And that is crap as far as I'm concerned. But I also know that the problems she's had with her ribs and the problems that she's had with her breathing are a result of a spiritual issue. And as she gets rid of those things and turns those issues over to the Lord and surrenders them, that those health issues, those things that have been manifesting in her, will have to go. Because they are not permitted to stay any longer. And she's having to fight to drive that out. She's having to fight to drive out those thoughts, to drive away those desires. Amen? And it's a challenge, is it not? Every day it's a challenge to reject that, to drive that out. And I speak to that right now and command it to loosen and break up and be gone in Jesus' name. And I ask those that are listening to join with me so that she can be ultimately free of all of that garbage. Devil, you are done. Get out. And Sue, as you continue to let the Lord shine a light into your heart, and you receive that without reservation, his word will continue to do that work and break up all of that hardness that has held you back for all of these years. And the resentment and the hurt and the jealousy and the distrust and all of that stuff will go because it has no more place to live. Amen? And you will breathe free. And you will be free in Jesus' name. You can all be free. Come to the light. Amen. Come to the light. But receive what it has to offer. Because if you come to the light and simply reject it, what's the point? When my little girl comes to me and says, I'm sorry after having done something, and I know that it's not sincere, I don't accept her apology. I don't accept it. because I know she didn't mean it. God knows when you mean it. God knows when you're being sincere. And guess what? You know when you're being sincere. And you know when you're trying to play a game. You know it. You may fool some people. You may even convince yourself at times, but you will never fool God. It's not going to happen. And all the time you continue to play that game, the enemy is just sitting there with the hugest grin on his face, waiting for you to walk around that next corner and step in his next trap, to get entangled and ensnared again in his next thing, to destroy you and to bring you down. He is just loving every moment of it. Why don't we just stop giving him so much fun? Why don't we ruin his day and destroy his little game? Amen. I think that's it for me today, guys. Come to the light, receive what it has to say, and get free in Jesus' name. One last thing. Brother Steve's been preaching that we need to take, as a ministry, It's imperative that we take a major leap forward, not a minor step, not a small step, but a major leap forward, and probably several of those major leaps forward. That can happen. That can happen. God wants it to happen. Jesus has made a way for it to happen. But he's not going to grab you by the back of the neck and drag you kicking and screaming. He's just not going to do it. But he will help you. Peter, when he was sinking and drowning, people often like to talk about that scripture about how Jesus saved him. But you know what happened before Jesus saved him? He cried out for help. Jesus, help me. Lord, save me. He cried out. Cry out for help. Jesus is there. You don't have to drown. He's there. Amen.